Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is actually somehow more traumatic, really.
Did they say she was a fugly slut?
Okay. And that's what your wife said to me in the show. At the hey.
I like to save greyhounds because they look like stilettos.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. As you can tell, I am your host, Katie Wilkins, aka Detective Sasshole. I am not sorry for anything. I will take no further questions at this time. We are live with our patrons and people that paid to see us on Zoom. Hello and welcome to everybody in the chat.
Hello, hey, welcome.
And hello to everybody. People. Hey, live people. And hey, everybody at home that's not live. You've got this. You're traveling through time to hear us. Now, before I keep talking about stuff like that, I'm going to crack on. I would like to introduce a very special guest for this episode. Please welcome the fantastic comedian, podcaster, and magician, it's Chantelle Fiduchin-Pate!
Hi, guys! Yay. Thank you so much for having me!
Welcome! How are you?
Well, I don't see how that's any of your business.
No, fair enough. Fair enough! I've crossed the line.
I'm very well, thank you. How are you? It's so good to be here. I'm so happy to be here. Yay. I saw you guys live last month and it was fantastic. I loved it. So I'm very honored to be a guest. Thank you for having me.
Yay! Female workplace. Well, we have one question for you, Chantelle.
Yes, I'm listening.
Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Several crimes, but I think probably the biggest one I've had is actually a very basic crime. It was just excessive.
Okay.
It was a very pedestrian, everyday crime, but it went on a bit.
Okay.
I was burgled.
Okay.
So standard stuff. You live in London, if you've been this long, you're going to be burgled, right? But I was burgled 3 times in 2 weeks.
In the same... Oh, no! In the same place. Of course it was the same place.
Obviously the same place. No one's that unlucky.
That quickly.
I wouldn't live in London anymore. I'd be like, I get it. You guys don't want me here. I'm out. Yeah, the same. This is completely true. It's on the police report. The last time they came, they took my beer.
No.
Bear in mind, I was mid-20s. So we're talking like a Red Stripe at best. This is not like high-quality beer.
Are you sure this wasn't just a boyfriend you forgot you lived with?
They took my MacBook Pro twice.
No.
I had one. They took it. My dear mother came and brought me a new one. They took that one 5 days later. It just never ended. They trashed the place. Have any of you been victims of burglary at all? Because the worst part of it, aside from they steal your stuff, but you end up getting over that, it's that they trash the place. They just completely trash the place. That's the worst part of it. They go through all your clothes. They go through all your underwear. They go through everything. I did eventually move, by the way. Spoiler, I moved.
I was going to say that would put a damper on any place, even the finest of flats. Where in London were you? Not that it matters, because it happens everywhere, but I'm just curious where you were.
Well, it's a place in near Whitechapel called Shadwell. And if you know Shadwell, this will all make sense to you. And if you don't know Shadwell, just imagine your average kind of ghetto-ish part of London, and then just take away hope. And that's Shadwell.
Whenever I go through it on the overground, I always say, sometimes out loud, which is a shame, Shadwell by name, Shad very well by reputation. Because he's from Austin Powers.
I mean, good.
And, that's not always good when you're sat on a tube alone and you're like, do you have that when you go through like the tube and you have different things you have to say at each spot? No?
Okay. That's just you, but it's all right. You're engaged, so you found your person. It's all right.
Whenever we go through Wapping, he says that he was going to open a bakery called Wapping Baps, which is just a stupid joke that we do at Wapping.
Oh, well, it is.
At least you're both off the market.
I want to
travel with you more. I can't believe... I mean, I've been on a few trains with you and I've gotten none of this. I would like all of this out loud next time, please. Is it mostly the overground? Is this an OG experience from the HG?
You know what? You need to have been on the line a few times to get yourself ready, get some ideas brewing. And then, so mostly it's the line that I'm on the most, which is the overground.
I can't wait. I mean, you should run tours. I'm sorry, Chantal, to take away from your victimhood.
This is actually somehow more traumatic, really.
It's definitely more sad.
It's definitely more sad, yeah.
This is worse than a MacBook Pro being nicked twice.
Twice, people. I had lots of crimes, but nothing competes with talking to yourself on the overground.
I know. I sort of worry people are going to give me money or something. Do you know what I mean?
Just why would that be a worry? That would be an advantage. That would be great.
That's a great way to get money. Like, oh, I hope no one donates to me. Oh, my God. In a week. This all happened in a week.
Two weeks.
Oh, no, I do it every day.
That's two weeks. Two weeks. That's bonkers. Oh, my gosh.
Did they break the door? Did they get back in because it wasn't fixed?
Because as luck would have it, it happened. And the older I get, the more whenever I say this sentence, when I tell this story, everyone cocks their eyebrow like, oh, really? Maybe this is important, because it happened during the month where my landlord was on holiday. Everyone does that now. Everyone's like, oh,
there it goes.
Right. Okay. There it is.
Consider my eyebrow cocked.
But the door was knocked off its hinges. And then I think, I can't remember, it happened some time ago now. I think at first the block was broken. Then the second time it was just knocked off its hinges. And that was when we were like, all right, fuck it, we're going to leave. And then they came back a third time still. And by that point, I'm not even sure how the door was connected anymore. Oh, I think in our hearts, we'd given up.
Did you just hang up 70s beads?
I think I just wrote a sign playing like, please don't make a mess. The beer's in the freezer. Please have at leisure. God.
So who did you live with? How many of you lived there?
It was just me and my one friend, Gary. It was just me and Gary. And we obviously weren't very popular.
And this happened every time?
Yes, every time. One time it happened, I came back in the morning after being out all night because I was in my 20s. And I think he found it the third time. And the second time I found it, and it was after work, which I was all very, we were all like, everyone in this building knows who's done it. Everyone knows about this. They just do not want us living here. So we just were like, we need to just not be in this building anymore because if it happens in daylight, like someone saw something and no one said anything. I mean, it was surprising the stuff they didn't take. Like this was like mid-2000s, like 2K5. And they took like a PlayStation 2 and a VCR, in 2005. Oh, but they didn't, through all their rummaging, through all my drawers, they didn't find like a pair of diamond earrings I had. They stole a lot of valuable jewelry, but they didn't find that. I was like, you went through all that. You took a VCR, but not the diamond earrings.
Congrats on saving the earrings.
And, oh, that's one thing I remember. They took the VCR on the first trip, and they got the remote for it the second trip. I think that's why they came back.
This is useless if I have to stand up.
Yeah, they were too lazy to stand up and press pause, but they weren't too lazy to go to someone else's house to get the remote.
I love how that speaks the idea that they kept it. But they needed it to be more convenient.
Maybe you know what? In my mind, maybe they were like independent film lovers and the films they had were not available on DVD.
Right.
Only VHS, you know, old school.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Blockbuster was still going at this point.
Yeah, and we just helped them out. So if anything, I'm grateful.
The story I like to tell myself that they wanted the VCR is that, like, maybe they had some home family movies that they really wanted to watch.
That's right.
they needed a VCR so they could watch that beautiful moment.
Exactly. Exactly.
What nice guys robbed you?
Or women. It could have been. I hope it was in a way. If it was women, they would have found the jewelry. So it was definitely men.
Oh, man. So it's almost definitely the same people each time, right?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, it had to be the same people. There's no question in my mind at all. Of course it was the same people. Man.
We always ask on this podcast, if you had them, what would you say to them now? And had them is whatever you want that to mean. Like they're in custody.
Yes, it is.
Hey. So like they can see you, they can't see you. Do you want to shout at them? Do you want to attack them? What would you do to them?
I know this might sound a bit like hippy-dippy, but even at the time, I remember thinking this, that I just figured, I doubt they had a great time doing this. I doubt they felt great. Okay. I doubt it ever feels that good to break into someone's house and go through someone's stuff and take it. So I presume...
No, you've just not done it.
It's such a rush.
And if it doesn't take the first 3 or 4 times, just power through. You just got to power through it. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. I presume that whoever they are, they needed all my crap more than I needed it.
Right.
And so I'm sure that at the end of the day, I'm sure they don't need me to yell at them. I'm sure their life was already not in a great place, or at the time wasn't in a great place. So... I mean, it was just, at the risk of sounding a bit like, oh my God, material possessions. But literally, it was just stuff. It was just some, it was a whole bunch of stuff that meant a lot to me. But at the end of the day, I was alive. So, although going through the underwear drawer I was a bit like, who the fuck did that? That was the one. I was like, which one of y'all? Who did the underwear drawer?
I just know I'd be so embarrassed because it would be like 20-year-old bras. There'd be like horrible pants that I don't wear anymore. Like my knicker drawer is like if you can imagine, the opposite of sexy. That's what my underwear drawer is. So I'm kind of like,
I know what
they
you
would
mean.
Be really disappointed.
I know what you mean. I remember at the time I couldn't stop. That was the part I couldn't stop thinking about, was like a stranger's hands, like going through my underwear.
That's really violating, though.
Yeah, I thought about that for weeks on. Honestly, it took me months to stop jerking off over that.
Yeah. This is so wrong.
Especially for the listeners, Chantal was... miming what it looks like to have a stranger go through your pants, and it was like two tarantulas just like playing the piano.
That's how it was in my mind.
It was really hot, so yeah, you're right.
I was violated.
We'll talk about that for the wank bank later.
Oh, dear me.
That's the joy of doing these live.
That's why
patrons.
You've got to come live. If you want, yeah. If you want stuff for the wank
that's
bank.
I'm saying, people, that's right.
Well, 40 people have left.
All right, well, look, I can't think of a better way to conclude that story than on a wank joke.
You're welcome.
Take it from a married woman. It's the only way to finish.
Wow. This is drinking from 1 p.m. Taylor talking right now.
So sorry. I'm so...
never mind.
The word multifaceted was supposed to come out of my mouth and it didn't.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We never know what she's going to do next. But you know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to talk about a true crime case. This case will show you how a small thing can affect a big thing. Okay. And that's what your wife said to me in the shower.
Hey, someone had to do it.
And I'm glad it was me this time. Now, this is a case where actually a lot of the verdict hinges on a car accident, but this is not a case specifically about a car accident. And yet it kind of is. I'm feeding you the mystery. Now, we are talking whistleblowing. We are talking safety at work. We are talking drug use. And we are in a time span of the 70s and 80s. So my first question is, what industry are we in?
Ooh. Well, I remember we did one about... What was it?
Can you say the things again?
Okay, yeah. So it's sort of about a car accident. A lot of it hinges on a car accident. Okay. We're talking whistleblowing. We're talking safety at work. We are talking drug use. And we are in a time span of the 70s and 80s.
70s and 80s. What is the industry?
It's not the same one, is it? Because it's exactly the same as the... do you remember that one that we did about... Was it nuclear power? And it was made into...
The one that they made a film out of. It was your case, wasn't it?
I can confirm it's not the one that Meryl Streep's in the film of.
Okay, because I was like, fuck, it's got everything. Because that ended in a car crash. That had whistleblowing. It was in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. That's all they did in the 70s and 80s.
I can see how you got there. It's not the Meryl Streep film.
Karen Silkwood. Thank you, Tori Spratt.
It's not that.
Is it the finance industry?
Finance?
Is it finance? Because you mentioned
people
drug abuse. They love that.
Yeah, that's a good
safety
call.
Safety at work. I mean, if it involves women, they weren't very safe in financial institutions in the 80s.
Yeah. That's a great guess. Anyone want to advance on that?
I'm going to go with the New York taxi... establishment.
Okay. Ooh, publishing. I like to push up publishing or finance.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
Okay, nobody is quite there. We are in Hollywood, guys.
Oh God, here we go. Well, perfect.
We
Hollywood.
We're talking movies. We're talking TV. By the way, I partly chose a Hollywood case because we have Chantel, who has a podcast that we will talk about later that's all about celebrity
stuff.
You
did bring an expert, go on.
And how else would we find out that we were both in love with Ethan Hawke? But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So we're movies, TV, Hollywood specifically, stunts.
Ooh,
oh, nice.
My gosh.
Okay.
Now,
drunk stunt man. No,
Brad Pitt. In the worst idea ever.
Now, this is the case of Julie Johnson v. Spelling Goldberg Productions. So, the players are Julie Johnson, a well-respected stunt woman who has worked her way up in the industry over decades, and Spelling Goldberg Productions is a powerful production company which has since been sold to Columbia Pictures.
Was that Aaron Spelling?
Yes.
Author of Tori Spelling? Nice.
Oh, is that? Hollywood royalty. Oh, see, this is the kind of intel that... Seriously, he's her dad.
Yeah, he's her father, and he was a huge, huge, like the TV producer in the 70s and 80s, and he famously had the biggest house. He had the most rooms in his house. And
Did
I remember he famously had one room that was just for wrapping presents.
Oh my God, the wrapping room.
Tori Spelling always talks about growing up in a house and one room was all it was for was wrapping presents.
What?
That is mental, and all I can think about is that would be so useful because there's never a big enough table. There's never a big enough
space. I know.
Yeah, you have to tidy before you can even do it. And where is the sellotape? Oh, it's in the wrapping room.
See, Aaron was just thinking. He's a smart guy.
Oh, man.
All I did, rather than get a wrapping room, I just stopped buying people presents.
Oh man, You know, he takes the stand in this case and the press are wild. Right, loads happens in this case. I've had to streamline it, so I've tried to keep as much of the juice as possible. The phrase David versus Goliath gets bandied around by the press who can't get enough of this case. So just early doors, just to get your first impressions, who do you think is going to win this case? We've got a lone stunt woman against a very powerful production company that went on to father Tori Spelling.
It's not looking good for Julie, I gotta say.
Okay. Are you different to that, anybody?
I'm saying Spelling Goldberg win this pretty easy piece.
Okay, they win. Hannah George?
I mean, as you said, the press is so into it. I don't know whether there's some pressure from the press or something that means that they...
Maybe there's an out-of-court settlement.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Where nobody gets justice. It's going to be great.
Okay, now I'm just going to whiz through one or two facts and then we are going to get straight to the meat of this, because I don't know if you guys know much about stunt work in the film industry, but it's been kind of a boys' club in the 20th century. It's shocking, I know. But all the best jobs went to white men. Men kept doubling as women. There was blacking up. There was much less opportunity for anybody that was not white and male. Also, pushes for reform, safety standards and equality, which obviously a long, unfinished road. And finally, you've got like all these organizations, you've got the Screen Actors Guild, and then we reached the halcyon beacon of safety that was the 1970s. Now, also, I got all this from a book called Stunt Woman, The Untold Hollywood Story by Molly Gregory. So if anyone wants to know more about it, go get that. Now, Julie Johnson has been going since the 50s. She's very respected as a stunt woman. And normally, when a man has been going that long, they progress up the career ladder to stunt coordinator. But that path didn't really exist for women because sexism. No one wants to take orders from a chick. That
women
madness.
Can't coordinate. We just can't
coordinate. We're really bad at organizing as well. We're dreadful at it.
We're too emotional. We can't multitask.
I mean, who knows what's going on in her brain, you know? Marriages, weddings, wine.
The car looks like it crashed. There's dead people in there.
One of them could be my child. What if that was the case?
I want another baby.
You had to have actresses had to have a stunt woman to cry for them in case they never stopped.
Well, now, Julie broke barriers when she got hired as a stunt coordinator. Even though women almost never got these jobs, she got hired as stunt coordinator for a hit 70s TV show. Question, what is that TV show?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard is a great guess. Chips is a great guess. Any other
Chips
guesses?
Chips is also a great guess. High five, Chantel.
Oh, Hawaii 50.
Great guess.
Is that surfing?
Yeah, no. But it was still around.
No, I just wonder what the stunts were in surfing.
No, it wasn't surfing. They were, I don't know, it was an American show in the 70s. There was surfing in all of those.
It was police in Hawaii, I think. It was a cop show. Hill Street Blues.
That was 80s more.
Was that 80s?
Okay. Yeah, that
Charlie's
was 80s.
Angels?
Yes!
Thank you, Morgan
nice.
W. I shouldn't be looking at the chat.
I was just like, Hannah George.
They're not going to let us back in the country, Taylor.
By the way, all the rest of the comments are about Rolo, who obviously just moved behind Taylor or something.
Yeah, I was watching Rolo the whole time, to be honest. It distracted me.
When he stretches like that, he looks like a high-heeled shoe. Next time he does it, like, check it out.
You've been drinking since wine, haven't you?
She tried to put him on earlier. It was horrible.
He looks like a shoe, guys, honestly. Look at his body.
My dog looks like a shoe.
I like to save greyhounds because they look like stilettos.
Okay, now, Julie was very well respected as a stunt woman, but as a stunt coordinator, it's in that same way that Hillary polled high until she said she wanted to be president, and then that made her look super vain. Yeah. So Julie suddenly finds that she's encountering a lot of problems from a lot of people that previously were her friends and supported her and stuff. But she is
by people, do you mean men?
I do. And then just one or two women for good measure. But she has also been one of the people that's instrumental in trying to like reform safety and all of this stuff. So she's actually
a killjoy. We're all thinking it.
There's like several stunt women's groups because they're trying to protect. Everyone's trying to unionize and get protection for their jobs and stuff. So she is doing all that stuff. And she's genuinely worried that people are going to get hurt. So she felt she had to say something.
She's doing good stuff and I'm a dick. I get it.
No, I mean, this, like, it's a comedy podcast as well as a true crime podcast.
I mean, if you're worried people are going to get hurt, maybe don't get into stunts, just saying, but okay.
Well, no, but if there's a genuine craft... That, and it has to be done properly. And...
Yeah, the fact that that wasn't happening from the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm surprised about.
Insane. Like, it was just this, like, just well, no regulations. Whatever you can do to make it look real.
Well, so, no, but part of the problem was budgets and time. So she brings up a whole list of stuff. So she complained about the quality and safety of the vehicles that were provided, the amount of time allotted to get the shots, drug use by key players on set, and injuries that could have been avoided, sexism and discrimination. But, like, basically everything was about the actors, and then however long they took, you had whatever time was left to do the stunts. So, right. Like, oh, it wow. could oh often God. Be very rushed. There was, like, so much...
So stunt doubles had, like, no rights, basically. They had no, like...
Yeah, kind of, actually. Yeah, basically. And everything's rushed. And it's... Obviously, it's TV, so it's very high pressure. A lot of egos. But there's also, you know, there's simple things that people could have been doing better. But anyway, so she complains about all this stuff. And then the production company decide not to renew her contract.
Oh, that's such a weird...
Tale as old as time.
Yes, isn't it? Now, she said that her termination was a reprisal against her complaints. And then she broke another barrier. So question, what barrier did she break next?
Ooh, was she like the first woman to take the production company to court or something?
Oh my God, do you know what? You guys don't get to answer. Yes.
Ken is cheating.
Thank you, Morgan W.
It's a real shame because I had a real witty comment about Farrah Fawcett's hair, but now I'll never know.
Damn it. You see what we miss when you let people be right?
Maybe I'll find an opportunity to talk about feathering later. All right. There's no guarantee.
Now, she was the first stunt coordinator to sue her employer for unfair termination. Loads of people had fired complaints with equal opportunities, those basic bitches, but she was the first one to actually do this. She's a Society of Professional Stunt Women. She's a co-founder of the Women's Stunt Group. She's got 400 credits and primetime catalogue for 20 years. So she's saying she's wrongfully terminated as a stunt coordinator because she was too outspoken on safety matters. But it is actually very difficult for her to do this and get this to go to trial. So she was fired in February 1980. She filed 3 lawsuits and 2 were dismissed. So my question is, when did her trial finally begin?
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? It's ironic that, like, her trying to get safety to be better in stunting... you know, in being a stunt person, would mean less lawsuits for a company.
Yes.
And, you know, and then suddenly they've got a lawsuit because they're not listening to this, like, pretty amazing sounding woman. So it's like, unfortunately, I think it's probably at least 10 years maybe until they actually bother to.
So maybe 1990?
I'm so sorry, because we are absolutely not going to reference comments. But
someone said 1912.
Someone said the trial started in 1912, and it just really cracked me up.
I'm going to say the year of 1988, which I believe is the year that Working Girl came out. So maybe everyone thought, let's listen to this woman.
Right.
I love the stunts in Working Girl.
I mean, who didn't? Right. The hair alone was a stunt. Speaking of feathered hair.
1984.
Okay, in that case, right, Chantal George gets Orwell. It. But it was 1987, but that is by far the closest.
Enough. That's close enough. Yeah.
That was the year I was born. Do you think I was born? And they were like, we need to make things better for women.
Oh, look, the best child is a woman. Quick, fix everything.
It's a better time to go to court because the shoulder pads were just enormous by then. And I just feel like there would have been more authority as a woman in court with the pads. You hear me,
right? And they were working wonders with eyeshadow back there, guys. Like, you have no idea. Yeah, it wasn't just this, like, it wasn't this Kardashian black shit. It was like blue, green, purple. And that was just one eyelid. They were doing power so much back then. So if you're a lawyer back then, you really were into business. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, Joan Cusack. Now I'm just thinking of Working Girl. I'm sorry.
Oh, I know what I'm watching when I'm done with this.
Oh man. Do you know, I've left it long enough. I can watch that film again. Yeah.
You have to leave it a certain amount of time.
Well, no, but when you overwatch watch something, you're like, okay, I got to wait.
You can't overwatch Working Girl, especially not with that Harrison Ford scene. We all know what I'm talking about, changing the shirt.
Now, the reason that it took so long is because no one wanted to take her case. And she lost her house trying to fund. She lost her house in 1984 trying to fund this.
Oh, shit. So
68 attorneys interviewed her. 4 separate firms took her case and then dropped it. And every time she found a new lawyer, they would get threats and quit. And she got threats. An ominous voice on the phone told her, there's a bullet with your name on it. And she said that she felt this whenever she left the house. And she's also quoted as saying, sometimes I wish they'd get it over with. Other times I thought I'd catch the bullet in my teeth and spit it back.
Oh, how has this not been made into a movie for which the lead actress obviously wins the Oscar? Hello. Oh my God. This is like Erin Brockovich part 2.
I know. That is, and like, that's a proper quote. That's not even like.
That's amazing.
It's cool. Also,
I thought you said that the actress is Winsley Oscar. And I was like, who's Winsley Oscar? I have never heard of her. Why are we casting her? Yes. Yeah. Gosh, what a
great. Oh my God.
Quote.
That's such an actor's name. Winsley Oscar.
Winsley Oscar.
And the Oscar goes to Winsley Oscar.
Yeah, like that her parents named them with nominative determinism. Now, one of her lawyers said that he was surprised that she hadn't been found dead on Mulholland Drive. And on the eve of the trial starting, another lawyer dropped her, saying that the mafia had told him to get off the case. And the judge gave her 30 days to find a new attorney.
Oh my God, who was her amazing attorney?
Well, this is my question to you. Did she manage to find another lawyer to take her case?
I mean, she must have done, because I feel as though, I don't know, because you said that when the man with the wrapping room, when he when he took the stand, so it makes me think there was a court case, so she must have found.
Yeah, she could have represented herself.
Yeah, this is sort of a big mistake. Yeah,
or if she wrapped herself, she definitely did not win this. So, so I'm not sure we'd even be talking about it, to be honest. So
it would make the movie so cool, though.
She has.
So you got to weigh up.
It's true. She has to have gotten a lawyer.
Okay, so gets a lawyer from Chantel. Anybody else?
Yes.
Like a young upstart female lawyer started her firm, like an Angela Bassett type who's just trying to make her way in the world of law, you know, similar women.
Yeah.
Like an older lawyer that's going to like take it as their last case.
Okay, yeah, that would work for the movie.
They keep doing a Danny Glover, like, from Lethal Weapon. I'm getting too old for this shit. They keep having that refrain.
And maybe his daughter worked as a stunt woman and was killed on set, so this is his way.
Oh, my God, guys, look, can we just make the film? Screw the crime, let's make the film.
Because men can't feel anything unless they have a daughter
or a wife.
Yeah, because women aren't people.
That's right. Yeah. Unless they're your daughter or wife, yeah.
It humanizes them when you make one.
Yeah, and that's the only way.
So tell us what happened, Katie.
Tell us. Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, she does find a new lawyer.
Okay.
Five days before the deadline.
Oh my God. Honestly. Yes.
Cutting it fine. So she went through the courthouse.
In the film, it'll be just minutes.
It'll be 20 minutes, yeah.
I'll run up the steps of the courthouse. I'll be your lawyer.
She goes through the courthouse archives and she found a lawyer that had already represented someone against Spelling Goldberg. And so she figured that he'd be up for it.
Got a vendetta on her hands.
So she gets Richard Gray. Now, Gray wants to prove drug use because he felt that that was the crux of the case. That's simple. He said all the other stuff, all the sexism, that's distracting and hard to prove. But proving illegal drug use was tangible, and then that could prove an unsafe environment with lives at risk, and then that would show cause and effect of her complaining, and then her termination. And that kind of termination is a serious violation of California's public policy.
Well done, Richard Gray.
Yeah.
So he's played in a film, by the way, by Richard Gere. I think it'd be perfect.
That could work. That could work.
Nice. And the whole time he has his top off. I don't know why it just feels right.
Like someone keeps spilling drinks on him or something.
Yeah.
Some intern.
Yes, the aircon stopped working and
off. I don't know if I want to see Richard Gere with his shirt off these days.
Oh, he's still got it. He's a silver fox.
Does he?
Don't be putting
down. I haven't seen him in.
Don't be sleeping on Richard Gere. He's got him.
Okay. Okay. Right. It's been a while since I've seen him around.
The man gave us Pretty Woman. Show him some respect.
Seriously.
I promise you a car crash, and by God, I've
yes.
delivered. So a lot of it hinges on this car accident. So basically, when they were filming this series, this season of Charlie's Angels, there was a stunt with a car. And in this stunt, Julie and another awesome stunt woman called Jean Coulter, like, Google her just for the love of it. Like, she's amazing too. They were supposed to roll backwards out of a moving car. There's like a car chase. A car is chasing this car. And they're supposed mm-hmm. to roll out backwards, but it went wrong and they got injured and they had to go to A&E, and it was a whole thing with Jean. And now it's a whole thing with Jean. You guys, any fans of the SNL Twin Bed sketching?
I am. No, that's just you,
man. I butchered it, sure. It's just me. Now, the driver of the car is a stuntman called Bobby Bass. Now, his speciality is supposed to be cars. And he's been going as long as Julie has, right. Julie Johnson. They both started in the 50s, the guy that you get for car stuff.
Bobby Bass,
right?
Just like, wanted to say it.
It's like, tell me you're from the 70s without telling me you're from the 70s.
Yeah, I'm a stunt guy called Bobby Bass over here. What do you want? Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing him like above a door frame and he's like, you know that, what is it called? Billy Bass, that thing.
Yeah, he's a fish, that? Yeah.
Oh, the fish.
Yeah.
Oh, Billy Bass.
Yeah, it was the singing fish, right?
There's no way that someone named Bobby Bass is getting a job in tech. You know what I mean? That's very much, that's yes. a physical job. You've got to have a physical job with that name.
It's true. Now, Julie and Jean's testimony of how it went down conflicted with everybody else's accounts. And they both said that during rehearsals, Bobby Bass was not paying attention. He was kind of not there, Jean had testified.
Classic Bobby.
Question, what speed did Julie and Jean say they'd all agreed that the car would be going?
55 miles per hour.
Okay. Whoa. That's pretty
that's
fast, but I like it.
I was going to say 15.
But I also feel like, I've watched quite a lot of stuff about stunt people, and I feel like they do the stunts at really crazy speed. Like, it's not, like, it's almost like, it's not fake. They just strap themselves into these fucking cars.
That's what I'm thinking, back then,
helmets.
Before regulations, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I feel like they probably agreed maybe on, I think 60 maybe would look
nice,
like
Hannah.
Strong enough, like it would look fast enough. Because I think if you're going at 15, there's only so much you can speed up the footage to make it look like.
Mind you, in all those old shows, they would look sped up, the chase scene. So Taylor's probably right.
Very true. Well, you guys, I am giving it to Taylor.
Yeah.
They had agreed 12 to 15 miles per hour because they
Me
had
Me and Hannah
a way
should
of...
not be stunt people.
Let's go 100.
They want to go back to the
well
old
number.
Days.
I mean, what? We gave
you
them
You want it
helmets.
Fast, we'll make it fast.
You want to make it look like a man's on fire? We're going to let a man on fire.
Hannah was born the year they made this all safe. Don't worry.
They had a way they would crank the camera in a certain way so that when they could play back the footage, it would look faster.
Right.
So that was the plan. And that was a legit strategy that they would employ across everything.
But what did anyone else say they agreed on?
Well, exactly. This is what we're getting to. When they came time to do this shot, Bobby Bass was driving twice as fast as everybody had agreed.
That was about the quarter of what I would have gone.
Yeah, right. Pussy.
But no, that's crazy, isn't it? Because if you fucking if you agree on something like that, like you do not like.
Yeah, it's paramount. And like the thing is,
I thought it was universal.
Yeah, I thought it was universal. That's weird. Strange.
That'll
She's
probably be cut out.
On. She's always on. No, but the thing is, there are stunts where you would go faster, but they had agreed to do this stunt in this particular way with this particular camera.
Yeah, that's
camera.
Really shitty, Bobby. And you can just imagine him on a date going faster than you want.
So,
Bobby, I said first base, and you've already hit a home run. Stop it.
My God.
Taylor's getting to that kind of level of drunk. Forget to that time of night.
I'm not even drunk. I mean, I'm just me.
Oh. Technically, he's sobering up by now.
Do you know what I keep... Because when I look at myself, I'm so shiny. I look like a Punch and Judy doll to myself. Do you know what I mean? Like that?
Look at I
that
do know sheen. What you mean.
And this is another reason why you need to buy tickets and see us live on Patreon if you want to see. Taylor's face looked like a puppet of domestic abuse.
Yeah, why has she got a string of sausages next to her? That's weird. It's had to do with Rolo.
Where did that
That's my dog.
Oh, God. This is... Anyway, right. Back to the just terrible stuff in the case.
Go on. So far, Bobby Bass, what is he playing at?
Okay, what is he playing at? Now, so Jean and Julie said that they were
Oh,
injured.
My God. Sorry.
Go on, what?
I saw it as well.
Someone just said
I saw it.
It reminds me of the Saw puppet.
That's unnecessary. No, I didn't say it's untrue, but it's unnecessary.
No, it's so what I look like right now. Oh, you guys got to do the live zoom and see me look like the Saw puppet.
I refute that.
I don't. Look at that shine. Okay, go ahead. Stump people in rights.
So they said that they've been injured because he was going twice as fast as had been agreed in the rehearsals. Everybody else testified that they had been hurt because they had not jumped correctly.
Right.
So they blamed them, obviously, of course.
They blamed
the girls.
Them. Yeah. We've got some, like, basically everyone is towing the party line and they're, like, we've got some he said, she said classic stuff. And they also said, Jean and Judy said, that in a short break before the stunt, they had heard that Bobby Bass and the others might have used drugs, specifically cocaine. But of course, no one else recalled anyone taking a break or using drugs. So Bobby Bass takes a stand and Gray goes for him and he's all like asking him all these questions. So Bobby Bass does admit that he knew the camera was crank, so it would look like it was faster than it was.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, you're not going to lie to Richard Gere with his shirt off, are you?
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But he does deny everything else. And because also Julie had been complaining about all these cars and he was like, yeah, she definitely complained about the cars and stuff. So Gray tries to catch him out. And so basically also there was during all these car stunts, there was another bit where, so there's another car chasing the car that they're doing and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a bit where Bobby Bass was supposed to spin a car 180 degrees and he's a car guy. So that's like nothing to him and he couldn't do it. Like, so it's reported up that he couldn't, he tried four or five times and he couldn't do it.
It happens to all the stunt guys from time to time. They can't do the 180.
But so Julie and Gina testify that somebody else had to do it. And so Gray tries to catch Bobby Bass out and he's like, you know, you couldn't, he's supposed to speciality his cars. And Gray says, isn't it true that, sorry, just get ready for another 70s name. Isn't it true that Ronnie Rondell...
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Had to do it for you that day because you were not in condition to make that vehicle spin. And Bobby denies this. And then another stunt guy called Harrison backs him up and they say that Bass had done the spin.
Wait, I thought you meant that someone's name was Harrison backs him up.
I'm
sorry. This is getting better and better.
I misled you. I know. But like basically, yeah. So like everybody doubles down on their stories and it's just like these two women look like liars. Also, obviously, Spelling Goldberg need to make Judy look like a dick. So my question is, what kind of stuff do they say about her that will make her look like a dick?
Do they say she's on her period?
Nice.
All the time.
Yeah. Period. Great one. Anyone else?
Emotional because of her period. Always leaving to go buy tampons for her period. Just this woman in her period.
Just too much period.
Too much period.
Would they say a bit like, I think it's been in the news recently, all this stuff about like, oh, is she using her womanly wiles because that's the only thing that women can do. Like, you know, like it's been said, I kind of remember who about, but... Yeah, it's been said recently, it's like, oh, she uses her female way. So are they trying to discredit her by saying that, oh, well, she was always flirting or something?
Have they said that she's like, did they say that she was like in love with Bobby Bass, whatever his name is, and that this is all a ploy? They've been on a date and she was rejected and this is actually all a personal vendetta she has against him.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, these are great answers. Any advance before I tell you?
Did they say that she crosses her legs a lot?
Oh my God!
That was it.
This is very topical. I don't know when this is coming out.
I wondered if they were going to just make it out like no one liked her because obviously she was somebody who spoke up. So they were just like, I mean, no, but like, was it just a a Mean Girls attack. Like, well, nobody liked working with her.
Did they say she was a fugly slut?
Yeah.
Genuinely, these are all great guesses, and you're not far. They said that she was stroppy, unprofessional, incompetent, that her stunts were boring, and that she didn't understand cameras. And they're also
and
part of
her stunts were boring.
Oh, but like, genuinely, there's more to that. And they also said that the ratings were down, but...
They blamed the ratings on her?
On her stunts. But the thing is this is the classic thing of, like, the ratings were down and then they let a woman take the helm so that they can then say, oh, look, we can never give women jobs because, like, the rate... This is... And most of the CEOs that are women is because, like, the company was about to fucking fold and then they were like, right, you can have a try.
And do you know why the ratings were actually down? It's because Farrah Fawcett stopped feathering her hair.
There we go. We got there, guys. We got there. Don't worry about it.
I'm so relieved that we got back to
that. We did
it.
We can all relax.
But also this is their allegation. And there was a thing where the show did get moved to a different slot, but I think it had been struggling anyway. And in the book that I read, there's a lot more to that, but I don't have time for it now. It's just that thing of like, so they were their claim was that they were trying to go for a younger audience and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, they're claiming that her stunts are boring. And then there's this whole bit with the camera guy, the first DP, absolutely hates her. And he doesn't put the cameras anywhere that she tells him. So it's kind of like, well, you can't really say that her stunts are boring when no one's done what she actually told you to do. Yeah, exactly. So they've got all this evidence to show that she's, like, really unreasonable. And I just wanted to share a tiny bit of it with you because it's just so crazy. There's a bit where they're on location in Colorado and a witness said that Julie had gotten a strop at one point and stomped off to a snowcat to sulk and that this demonstrated her bad attitude. And then, like, when Julie takes the stand, she said that she was sent there to wait until they were ready to shoot the scene.
Oh, for goodness sake.
God, this bullshit is just, this whole thing drives me crazy.
It's actually kind of upsetting, and I'm sorry
Why couldn't she take it like a man and just go do some coke and then drive a car too fast? Yeah! I mean, come on.
Why can't she endanger some people like a man? This is my favorite one. Somebody testified that she was unprofessional because she didn't carry a briefcase. But wait, let me finish. When Julie was on the stand, she was like, I absolutely did carry a briefcase. She did carry a briefcase. And this is my next question to you guys. What do stunt coordinators keep in their briefcases?
That was my question.
What is in a stunt coordinator's briefcase? And this is a fun question. So go nuts.
I guess just that. Like the storyboard for the stunts they're doing.
Yes, love it.
Is it a first aid kit?
First aid kit, lovely.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, like bandages and splints.
And based on what we've heard, cocaine.
Yes. All the others had cocaine.
It's a bit like Falling Down. You know the movie Falling Down where Michael Douglas has got his briefcase and because he lost his job a long time ago. Sorry, spoilers, guys.
Spoiler, guys.
Because he lost his job, he pretty much just has a sandwich in there. That's all he has in his briefcase. So I don't know whether it's a sandwich. What I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, they might have lunch, but
the answer would be a sandwich.
The answer, now, Chantal is the closest, but what I was really looking for was toy cars.
Oh!
They have toy cars to demonstrate how they're going to do the stunts.
Okay.
Just like how
actors just have little figures and they're like, I don't want you to leave. Yeah, you gotta go. Same thing.
Yeah, you're going to go over here looking sad. Also, part of what I liked about this case was that half of the trial is people explaining their jobs because no one understands stunt work. So it's like educating the public takes up most of the time. Oh, also, so the other issue, one of the big issues that she had was she hated these cars. Some of them had seatbelts, but then the seatbelts didn't work. And she would only get the cars like minutes before they're about to do a stunt. And she kept saying to the transportation department, I need these cars ahead of time. I want to check them over. Transportation was not checking them over to an adequate degree either. But in court, they tried to claim that all of that was still Julie's fault. So question, why did they say that it was Julie's fault that these cars weren't safe, even though there's a whole different like levels of departments that are all in charge of cars? How is that still Julie's
fault? How would they pin that on her? Bobby Bass is the car guy. So how would they pin it on her that they weren't safe?
I will give you a clue. I don't know if this helps. this type of argument happens now, and it makes me sad and angry.
Yeah, you were right when you said you're not sure if it was going to help, but didn't.
Yeah, didn't. sorry.
This kind of argument.
Why is it her fault? She's asked for these cars.
Because she didn't ask in advance?
Yeah, that's the only thing I could... A timing issue seems pretty pedantic.
Because she should have known more about it?
Yeah? Any advance on that?
I don't understand how she would have... Because she's not in charge of the cars. I keep thinking they might say something along the lines of girls don't know about cars, but it wasn't her job to know about...
So you guys are close. Basically, they put this down to her lack of assertiveness.
Oh my god.
Right.
So she should have been much more assertive about saying she needed these cars at certain times.
So she's strappy, but she's not assertive enough.
She complains much, but also not enough.
Isn't it? Yes. This is exactly
Or she complains too much, but she's never aggressive enough when she does complain, which is all the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly this.
So I really hope this ends the way that I didn't think it was going to end at the beginning.
Okay. Well, actually, I was going to ask you, we're getting to the verdict. Has anyone changed their mind? Who do you think is going to win at the moment?
I mean, I'm wrong. I'm hoping that she comes through him. Because if she wins, wouldn't that have then changed... stunt coordination laws, maybe, and that'd be why things are safer now?
Yeah.
I hope she wins, but I'd still be surprised. Happily surprised.
Okay. You guys different to that or the same?
Yeah, I'd be happily surprised.
Happily surprised?
I want her to win more than anything because it's just like, she's this fucking character assassination of somebody who is just trying to be good at her job and to make the job better for other people. And because that's sort of like something that doesn't seem to be the way it's done, she's suddenly this...
You know what?
Yeah.
I think she's going to win this.
Yeah,
I'm going
Taylor.
For it.
You do
she's
it.
She's going to win this, Julie All right. Johnson.
All right, I love it. Now... Before I tell you the verdict, I want to tell you one more thing. Something happened 3 months before Julie's case began, which may have affected the outcome. Would anyone like to take a guess about what that was?
I bet it's like a horrible disaster or something, a huge stunt that went wrong.
Ooh,
that meant
Anna George.
They've gone, we need change.
Okay, does anyone want to get more specific than that? But basically, you are not far off. Name that terrible tragedy.
Somebody died on set in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Was it Brandon Lee? Was it that was shot?
Was it Michael Jackson doing the advert where his hair caught on fire?
It was not Michael Jackson.
Well, then I'm out.
Yeah, Brandon Lee was later, wasn't it?
It's not Brandon. It's not Brandon Lee. Actually,
it's 90s.
But it was somebody dying on set.
It was.
Okay. Goodness me.
Okay.
I don't think I know it.
I'm gonna tell you guys. It was the Twilight Zone. I don't know if you remember this, but there was this Twilight Zone. They were gonna make a movie of it. And in 1982, an actor called Vic Morrow and two child actors were killed in a helicopter crash.
Ooh.
And that trial had been ongoing. And on May 30th, 1987, 3 months before her case began, a jury had found John Landis and four other defendants not guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, yeah, I do know about this.
So basically, this has been bubbling. So she's been instrumental in all of these safety things.
Right,
she's been trying to do her thing. But in the meantime, stuff that she's also kind of been influencing has been bubbling up and
yeah. They talk about this in one of the Netflix series, you know, because now that you said John Landis, it rings a bell because they were talking about him being kind of embroiled in that. Anyway, that's by the
way. Yeah.
We have got to stop going to helicopters, guys. You couldn't pay me. There's just I would never go in a helicopter. It's just, it happens so often. It's not worth it.
Mm. Or do you think it happens because often people in helicopters are so high profile that we hear about it more?
Perhaps.
If you see what I mean, in terms of modes of transport, there's probably, I don't know. I mean,
but Concorde was high profile. It took one crash and it was done. Helicopters have had so many.
Well, there was also in this book, and it's separate to this, but there was a whole bit about how when it was more of a Wild West and there was less legislation, people would say to the actors, do you want to do your stunts? And the actors would feel like they kind of had to say yes. And this is one of the things that was annoying stunt people because they were like, A, it's not safe. B, you've pressured him into saying, you know, like he's not comfortable and it's not safe. And I'm an expert and I know how to do this. And so there was this kind of like slightly toxic.
That it was also, it was like bragging rights. Like, I do my own stunts. It was a big deal.
Like it was. There was this mad culture that until stuff got like this. Yes. After the Twilight Zone thing, the Screen Actors Guild started negotiating because also there'd been all these suggestions, this should be taken up, this should be taken up, this should be taken up, and nothing had been taken up legally. It wasn't because they didn't want people to die. It was because it was going to cost more money if they got sued. They were like, all right, fine, we'll have rules. It wasn't like the life, it was the price of money. So basically SAG steps into the breach and starts bargaining agreements and safety requirements and getting them into legislature. And that included seatbelts in cars, funnily enough. So I will tell you the verdict. On September 2nd, 1987, after 4 days of deliberation, the verdict of Johnson v. Spelling Goldberg arrived, and the jury awarded $1.1 million to Julie Johnson.
Yay, she won! Julie!
Yes.
Take that to your special room and wrap it up, Erin.
There's a but, you guys.
She never got that money, did she?
She did not get that money. She was very happy. She said, I heard the words and I could not believe it. She'd actually never expected, she realized in that moment that she'd never expected to receive justice, but she was trying to make a point. Basically, Spelling Goldberg later appealed and they got it all back again.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, Erin Spelling, I'm sorry, poops out that money, like, especially back then, every morning.
On his wrapping room alone,
easily.
He doesn't even need it.
She wasn't doing it for the money, right? She just doesn't feel like that kind of...
Oh my God, my fucking cat is eating my crisps that I was going to eat later.
Go for it. Do it, Fluffers.
You bastard, that was my treat.
Oh, his little head in the bowl.
I love bad for him.
He'll learn. What's... Good, that's karma, instant karma.
He's going to shit all over my kitchen, that'll teach him.
Also, I love the fact, Katie, that you're like, I could not possibly go into the kitchen after this, and it goes straight to the crisps. Like, you've got them like lined up, legend.
And that's your treat. Oh, goodness. Guys.
How sad is my life? Now, just kidding. You guys, this is the treat.
That's worse. Okay, go on.
Is that worse?
Yeah, that's like Hannah's overground. Yeah.
Damn. No.
Speaking of things that are worse, so Julie's opinion, so it's all been appealed and so it's all been erased.
So Hollywood twist, she gets nothing. So Julie said she never got a dime from the money. And then, of course, she was blacklisted. She lost work. So I'm wrapping this up, but according to IMDb, she went on to do stunts for Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo in 99, Spider-Man 2004, Smoking Aces 2006, and many others. I've just picked a random bunch to tell you. But there is actually a documentary about this made in 2020. I think she's still alive, and you can literally watch clips of her on YouTube talking about this because it's from the documentary.
Oh, wow.
And how she wanted parity and safety. She is an amazing lady, so let's raise a glass to trailblazer Julie Johnson.
Yes, Julie Johnson.
Drunk women solving crime.
I would like to do a shout out to our listener, Vicky.
Hey!
So, Vicky, happy birthday for yesterday, and congratulations on finishing your course.
Yay!
Vicky.
The drunk women salute you.
Yes.
Oh, she said thank you guys. You're very welcome.
Yay.
Stunt woman course, which is interesting.
Oh my God.
We're a lot safer now.
So the listener crime, I shall read. Hey. Dear drunk women, I need also, sorry, by the way, I've just got
to
show
back
this.
To the real crime of the evening, the cat and the crisps.
The cat beef.
Oh, like how she's gotten rid of some she didn't approve of.
Can you see?
I don't eat those ones that are that small. Sorry, I have standards.
Those ones have not made the cut. anyway. Right, sorry. Now, dear drunk women, I need your help. An incident occurred almost 10 years ago. I was 18 years old and lived at my parents' in a house in the countryside. One morning, the door from the kitchen to the garden was broken open. My entire family was sleeping upstairs and we didn't hear a thing. There were muddy footprints on the kitchen floor. They were pretty big, so we assumed it was from men's shoes. There was nothing stolen.
To be honest.
Or some tall women like Hannah and Katie. There was nothing stolen, but the door from a room where we store our bikes was open too, probably the escape route. But that door is not obvious as an exit if you don't know the house. The suspects. I love when there's a list of suspects. Okay. Ex-boyfriend is suspect number one. I dumped my first boyfriend 2 weeks before the incident. He was pretty much obsessed with me. Don't know why. Oh, come on.
He was obsessed with me. I don't know why. He was totally obsessed. Like, he couldn't get over me. I broke his heart. Totally. We hear you. We hear you.
It's a sweet, humble brag. I salute you. So, did he come by at night to see me or maybe do something else? Okay, suspect number two, friend. The evening before this happened, a male friend visited. Male is in brackets. Like, it's not important, but, like, we all know it's the men.
He was also obsessed with me.
The shoes.
Well, because of the footprints, yeah.
Yeah. Did he come back at night? What for? When I asked him if he could have left the footprints when he visited, he said, wasn't back out there. Was he lying? Suspect number three is gangs. There are sometimes some burglar gangs going through the neighborhoods watching out for houses to break in. Our house is in a rather posh neighborhood, but our house would definitely be the least interesting of them. Were they here to check it out? Please help put this case to rest. So, presumably, they did not get closure from the police, and that's a proper burglary.
So they didn't actually, they didn't actually steal anything. Nothing was stolen. They just broke in, walked around with their muddy feet, classic men. Okay, didn't care about that for themselves. They didn't steal.
Hang on, muddy
footprints. This feels like creepy ex-boyfriend to me.
Well, actually,
she doesn't specify.
He says that the door was opened to the bicycles.
She's commented.
Oh, she's okay.
Oh, here we go.
She said no police involved and nothing was stolen.
Oh, this is great because we can ask questions, actually.
I know, we always wish we could ask questions.
Also, yeah, this is perfect. This is the perfect way to do this.
Okay. Tried to say the fact that the male friend said I wasn't around that way again is a really fucking weird answer to the question, did you break into my house? I would never say, I wasn't around that way again. As if I was, I would have. But I wasn't in that area that night.
Yeah.
So that doesn't sound like a brilliant excuse.
Yeah, pick a better excuse.
Also, she said that the theory of the ex-boyfriend was from my mum. Now,
Mums hate ex-boyfriends.
But mums always know. Not my mum, but a lot of mums always know.
I always think there's an instinct with mums. And maybe, because I feel like, because it almost feels like quite comedic that they broke in, walked towards potentially where the stairs is, and then heard something and immediately just took the door out and was just like, I'm going to go, this is a bad idea.
Yes, it speaks to cold feet, doesn't it?
Muddy feet, am I right?
Muddy guys? Feet.
Muddy, cold feet. I'm leaning towards the ex-boyfriend, like, for sure. Because nothing was stolen. It's like a slightly spooky, intimidation, unsettling kind of thing, which is exactly the kind of thing a shitty ex-boyfriend would be trying to do. Like, maybe she'll come crying to me and I can support her.
See, that's why I think it's the male friend, because she wasn't even in touch with the ex-boyfriend. At no point in that did she say, I asked my ex-boyfriend. I feel like they weren't even in contact. So he never even got to find out how upset she was, whereas the male friend did. And he got to be, oh my God, you were so upset. No, I wasn't even in the area that night, but had I been, I would have probably saved you.
Yeah, that
kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your point. We've forgotten to ask a very important question. Was it Christmas Eve?
Just saying. Taylor has blown this wide open.
Were all the cookies and milk gone? Oh.
Also, I like that somebody in the chat asked, are there any pets? Like, there's a pet that has size big 8 enough. Men's feet. Like,
and is coordinated enough.
But I think the real giveaway is the fact that you wouldn't know that there was an exit sort of through that door. It had to be someone that was in the house before. I think it's the ex-boyfriend or it's the mother, because we do like to blame the mothers, don't we?
Or do you think it's the mother trying to put her off the ex-boyfriend?
Yeah, Naomi, were you thinking of getting back with the ex-boyfriend and your mum was like, right, I'm going to get a big pair of men's
shoes.
I'm going
to strap on some boots.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's some advice for you as your kids get older. Here's what you do.
That is playing the long game. I like that.
Okay. Oh my God, it's an inside job.
Okay, sorry, we've blamed your mum. I hope that helps.
I mean, you probably blame her for everything else.
Not only did she not support your dream to become a ballerina, but she also framed your ex-boyfriend. And she didn't buy you a pony.
Got deep with Katie.
Was it maybe just somebody, like, nice neighborhood? Was it like a neighbor who was just really drunk and walked into the wrong house?
I like that one as well.
That's
and there was
a
like,
good
nope.
guess.
Just someone just went, oh, shit, if they all look the same here.
Yeah.
And then just politely left.
Yeah.
And just politely left, had been invited over a couple times, so knew the back route, yeah. And I'll just let myself out and we'll never talk about
and
this.
And they probably said to themselves, oh, frightfully sorry, as they
Naomi has reminded us, broke the door to enter. And maybe it was a very...
Maybe they're used to coming home when the wife's gone to bed.
Well, if it's a drunk neighbour, it's like, no harm, no foul. And then just like, wow, God, I can't remember my keys every day, and then just smash their way in. Yeah. There's a lot of drunks in the countryside. We have a lot of car crashes on the countryside road that I live in.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, that's a separate issue. But everyone drinks and then drives home because they're like, well, it doesn't count because it's the countryside.
Oh, my God, that's terrifying.
I know, it's crazy.
It is terrifying.
But I think...
Yikes.
I think Santa Claus is probably... I'm going to back Santa Claus.
Are you throwing Santa under the bus here?
I'm saying it was Santa, and maybe, Naomi, you hadn't been good enough to get presents that year. I'm sorry.
But there's Naomi, also... She didn't get coal. Why would Santa Claus smash her door in and then just put muddy footprints?
She was that bad.
He wants to send a message.
Okay.
I bet they hadn't cleaned their chimney well enough that year. And he likes to send a message to people that don't get the sweep in once a year.
All right. Well, listen. I hope that that's helped. Now... I think we solved it. We have just enough time. Chantal, what are you up to? Where can we find you? Tell us about your awesome podcast. Tell us everything that you're up to.
I am. Thank you for bringing it up again. I do have an awesome podcast you can all come listen to.
I do.
We've had Taylor on already. I'm sure we'll have Hannah and Katie on as well. It's called The Way They Were. It's an amazing podcast if you're into celebrity couples. Each week we have a different guest come on and they discuss their favorite celebrity couple who's no longer together. So we go through what got the couple together, what made them so intoxicating as a couple, what made them break up. We find out who, of course, won the breakup.
Yes.
So in these times, in these dark times, if you need an hour or so of some frothy celeb nostalgia, then this is the podcast for you. We've had some great couples so far, more to come.
Yeah.
So The Way They Were, out every Friday. Please do come listen.
It's so good. I love the one that just came out was about Prince.
Prince and Sheila E. We had Ed Byrne on. We've had some great guests, great couples. I'm still waiting for the Gwen Stefani, Gavin Rossdale episode. No one's brought them on yet as a couple, but I'm dying for that to happen. We have so many couples. We haven't even done any Tom Cruise couples. We have so much to come.
Yeah, but we've done a list of what's taken. Yeah.
I think this Friday, I don't know when this episode comes out, so I shan't say, but either way.
Go on, give us the scoop.
Well, this Friday coming out is a big one. It's Brangelina, so I'm pretty...
Ooh.
And we should say that it's also hosted by Grainne Maguire, who is one of our lovely former guests. I'm just saying.
She's also been on your show as well. So you've now had everyone involved in all of the hosts have been on this podcast.
Yay.
And so it's a mutual love.
It is.
Us being and you guys. So please come listen to us. You'll enjoy it.
It's so brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a really, really good podcast. It's a great idea. You have an incredible knowledge of celebrities to the point
where
I was
just... Yeah, you're like an encyclopedia. You always... Grainne gives you such shitty things to guess and you always guess them.
I'm just always stunned because the part of the game is that you have to guess who the couple are from some really shitty clues.
And people have asked me, the amount of my friends, good friends of mine who are like, well, you really know who they are actually, don't you? You know every week. And I'm like, no, that'd be so weird and lame if I pretended every week. I never, ever know. And there has been a few I haven't
guessed. I'm a genius, I guess.
But I just happen to know a lot about celebrity. That's why I'm totally broke. Not a lot of money and no celebs. But...
Amazing. It's a really fun podcast.
Yeah, oh, well, thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having
me.
This has been so much fun. I've loved this. This has been great. I'm shit-faced.
You're a permanent member of the... Oh, yay.
Yay.
I'm just getting up to where Taylor was about 8 hours ago.
Our work here is done.
Give it up for our guest, Chantal Fiduch and Pate.
Yay.
Praise the roof. Thank you, guys.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter, on Facebook and Insta. We are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!